Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
We're back on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. And also, we are on the Blue and Gold YouTube channel as we talk Notre Dame football recruiting. I'm WSBT Radio's Darren Pritchett, joined by Mike Singer, the Notre Dame football recruiting insider at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Well, Mike, good to visit with you once again. And what's a day in the life of a star recruiting analyst this time of the year?
Wow. thank you for that intro. Traveling, confirming official visits, a lot of coaches on the road reporting on because, you know, March and April was a lot more of visit weekends. There's no weekends off in March and April. Was a lot on that. Now it's a little bit of gearing up towards what's going to be a really busy summer with camps at Notre Dame and big official visit weekends, midweek official visitors as well in the month of June. But yeah, right now, a little bit of a quieter period, but at the same time, Darren, as you know, with Marcus Freeman and the staff, there's always something going on.
Absolutely. For those of you watching on the Blue and Gold YouTube channel, we would love for you to like this video and subscribe to the Blue and Gold YouTube channel. Let's get busy with Dylan Robinson. He has set an official visit to Notre Dame.
Yeah, this is someone who we talked about either last week or the week before, Darren, as a player who Irish fans need to get familiar with. Notre Dame offered him, I believe it was last week, Mike Brown, Notre Dame's new receivers coach, stopped by Bonita in Southern California to inquire about Robinson, and then that ended up with Notre Dame offering him a scholarship. So Blue and Gold is told that Robinson will take his official visit to Notre Dame June 11th through the 13th. And he's also got summer official visits locked in with UCLA, Washington, and Utah. So one of those good old Notre Dame versus the West Coast recruitments that we're going to see unfold here. So Robinson, 6'2", 190 pounds, ranks as the number 383 overall player. Also could be a defensive back at the next level. That's why On3 lists him as an athlete, and he's the number 16 athlete, according to the On3 industry ranking, and number 31 player from his home state of California. So, Darren, as the 25 class has gone on, Notre Dame seems to be pretty much down to four receivers to potentially join the 2025 class. You got Robinson, who's really emerged again in just the past couple weeks. Derek Meadows, who we've been talking about coming up on a year now. He got his offer from the Irish last June when he stood out at the Irish Invasion camp. Told Notre Dame still in good position there. We'll see how his official visits go. Tanu Kynes from Houston, slot receiver, really talented football prospect, expecting him to officially visit sometime in June, still working on confirming the date. And then Talon Taylor from the Chicago area. I haven't been too bullish on where Notre Dame stands for him, but I'm liking it more and more. It seems like a Georgia-Ohio State-Notre Dame battle. I think that Notre Dame's passed up Ohio State for Talon Taylor. I think it's more Notre Dame-Georgia battle right now. I think that might end up trending towards the Irish. Just the way that you see that recruitment going, Darren. Now, Mr. Pritchett, I know that you say you're a recruiting novice, and I tell you that you're not because you talk with me every week. You're just consistently consuming recruiting information. Well, it might not be the best recruiting information because it's coming from me, but some of these recruitments, you have a feeling the longer it goes on, the worse it is for Notre Dame or the better it is for Notre Dame. And that's not just unique to Notre Dame, it's all schools. with Taylor, it feels like the longer it goes on, the better Notre Dame chances are. So Notre Dame's got three commits. They got Jerome Bennis Jr. Who's his dad again? I'm kidding. You got Elijah Burr, so who's his dad? Just Plexico Bird. And then Sean Terry. So three receivers committed. I think Notre Dame might end up taking five. If they can land two of the four we just talked about, I think they'll end up with five receivers in this class.
Mike, recently you told me you fully expected all four quarterbacks to remain on the roster with the transfer portal in the spring happening. And sure enough, all four quarterbacks are still in place. So there's a lot of momentum right now with that quarterback room and with Mike Denbrock as the offensive coordinator. You've been telling us about them working on the 25 recruiting cycle with, of course, Deuce Knight. But the 26 cycle, who has Notre Dame been looking at?
Yeah, last week we talked about where Denbrock and Gadooley were at, same quarterbacks. They were in the Sunshine State. Well, Gadooley, man, he's getting some good spots to recruit. He's in Florida. He's in California all week. So he's seeing saw three quarterbacks this week. Here's one who the Irish haven't offered, Deegan Rose from Clovis. This is in the Fresno area. Nation's number 372 overall prospect, number 28 quarterback. Not a big-time quarterback from a rankings or offer standpoint. And I'm told that Notre Dame really likes Deegan Rose. Not sure if they're going to offer. My guess is maybe not now. But Gadooley did go see Rose this week, and I'm told that Gadooley liked what he saw. Gadooley also saw Troy Hunt from Southern California and Mission Hills, 6'3", 185 pounds, four-star prospect across the board. Number 120 overall player, number 12 quarterback for the on-three industry ranking, considered a Texas lean for the recruiting prediction machine over at on-three, had a really good trip to Notre Dame in March. I think the Irish are probably not going to land Troy Hunt. I just see this one trending elsewhere. Ryder Lyons is someone who ranks as a five-star per Rivals, pretty highly thought of across the board. He's from Folsom High School, considered a USC lean currently. Notre Dame would be ecstatic to have him, but probably don't think that's going to happen. His brother is a tight end, Walker Lyons, at USC. So I wanted to cover Gadooley's road travels real quick. It's quarterback recruiting. It's always fascinating just to kind of track who they're going out to see. But last week when he went and saw Noah Grubbs, I think that is the recruitment to really keep an eye on right now. Grubbs and Brady Hart, we've been talking about forever. Hart seems like he's in no rush. He wants to probably make a commitment after his junior season. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Grubbs, you know, he's been on 20-something visits. He's kind of ready to make a decision. So I think Notre Dame actually leads for both guys right now. And if Grubbs wants to make a decision sooner than later, he's going to be the one to keep a close eye on.
Talking Notre Dame football recruiting with Mike Singer, the Notre Dame football recruiting insider at Blue and Gold Illustrated. Read his work at blueandgold.com. I'm Darren Pritchett from WSBT Radio in South Bend. Notre Dame still holding strong in the national rankings?
They are, Darren. And when I texted you today, I was like, what do I want to talk about with Darren? And yeah, Robinson setting up his official visit. That's newsworthy. We talked about that, and you know, some of the coaches on the road. But I was like, it is a little bit of a slower period. But you know, let's talk a little national recruiting rankings. You got Ohio State as number one, LSU two, USC three, Clemson. How about Clemson four? Notre Dame five, Bama six, Oregon seven, Georgia eight, Auburn nine, Texas 10. Now, you might be wondering, Mike, why the heck are we talking about national recruiting rankings in May? We got 7 months until signing day. I get it. But the way On3 does their rankings is a average score of the recruit ranking. So if you have, like, a recruit with an 89, and we're talking about a commit, like an 89, then it got, like, a 92 and a 93 and a 94. Well, it's like an average together, and that's how you get your commit score for your team ranking. So it's more of a picture of how good your class is compared to the rest of the country rather than just like a popularity contest, which I've talked about this so many times, so I'm not going to go into that. But, you know, Notre Dame does have, I believe, the most commitments in the country, which is why, for a lot of the rankings, they're just number one because it's a popularity contest early on. But, you know, if I told you, Darren, do you think they're actually going to finish number one at the end of the cycle? You would shake your head and say,
probably
no,
not.
I don't think so. So
history says that
five,
would be the play.
Five is even a little too high. I think Notre Dame probably ends up in the 6-10 range, which, Darren, per the on-three industry ranking, Florida edged them out at the last minute in the February signing day. They fell out of the top 10. Otherwise, that would have, if they signed a top 10 class this year, if they would have just stuck at number 10 last cycle, it would have been four straight years of top 10, which Notre Dame has just never done in the internet era. And I think even 4 years of top 11, Notre Dame's never done in the internet era. So it is a upward trend of Notre Dame football recruiting, Mr. Pritchett. We just have not seen this before. And rankings are just a data point. I always say that. But it's at least something where we can compare now to the Charlie Weiss era, right? To the Tyron Willingham era. You can compare what recruiting rankings are from now till then. And yeah, Notre Dame in this Marcus Freeman recruiting era stacks up pretty well. Now recruiting has changed a ton in 20 years, but still, Irish doing things that they've never done before in the internet era. And Marcus Freeman was hired in large part due to his prowess as a recruiter. And it's simply paying off. They are recruiting at a higher level than we've ever seen, at least in the internet era. Look, you can go back to, you know, Lou Holtz signed this and that. You find me, you know, the links, and you know, I don't have that. We're talking about internet era here. I don't have the Tom Lenning phone calls from the 90s saved. I'm sorry. So we're talking about from 99 or 2000 or so to now, and Notre Dame is not recruited at this level.
I thought it was interesting this week when on Twitter I asked if Marcus Freeman doesn't win a national championship, what'll be the biggest reason why? 49%, I thought, answered the question correctly. It's just hard to win a national title. 32%, this vote came in second. Notre Dame still doesn't have a national championship caliber roster. But with the way things are trending now, Mike, there's a really good chance that way of thinking, right or wrong, might diminish in the next year or two.
Darren, what a question. It must be May if you're posing that question.
Welcome to my world. Yes, indeed.
So multiple hours of programming in May, you're talking about Notre Dame football. I like the answer, too, that 49%. It's just hard. Yeah, because that covers everything. It really does. Listen, I don't really like to talk about Michigan in too positive a light because I know my audience. But they're kind of the blueprint. Now, asterisk aside, they are the blueprint, I think, yep, for Notre Dame to win a title. Michigan didn't recruit that well. You look at their recruiting rankings. They didn't recruit that great. It was a perfect storm of experienced players, some talented guys across the board, really good coaching staff.
Georgia got upset.
Just kind of worked out.
What's that? Georgia got upset by Alabama, knocking them out of the playoffs. That helps.
Yeah. So, but the world changes when you go to a 12 team, and now you got to win. If you're Notre Dame, three games every play, because you're never going to get that first round bye. So, right? Am I doing the math right there, Darren?
Yeah.
You got to win three games, right? You got to win the – yeah. So, yeah, so that's a little bit – that's going to be more difficult. Michigan's had to win two. Notre Dame's got to win three. You just got to get that first one at home and, go from there.
Finally, I don't log on to 24/7 Sports, but this came up on Twitter, and I talked about this earlier in the show. 24/7 Sports national college football writer Brandon Marcella released his much-anticipated top 30 teams for the college football season, and Notre Dame was ranked not in the top 30, and they were not even listed as teams to watch. Now, he's backpedaled, and he's talking, well, these are just summertime rankings and quarterback question marks and this and that. I guess, what is just your reaction? And everyone has their rights to their opinion. Whether they're right or wrong, we'll find out soon enough, but it's hard for me to imagine Notre Dame is not a top 30 team right now, just based on the amazing defense coming back from last year.
I like how you put it. This guy's either a genius or dot, dot, dot. All right, a couple things here. Everyone does have their opinion, and they have their right to kind of respond to this. And my, first of all, is I've never interacted with this guy, but I'm not going to come out and just bash him as an idiot because he could be my boss one day. So I don't want any receipts on that. So I've got a family to feed, so I'm not going to come out as your Notre Dame crusader because, yeah, I don't want to, you know, sorry, Notre Dame fans, I got to, you know, think for myself first here. But with that being said, I really think he just forgot to put Notre Dame. That yes. is what makes the most sense. It is absolutely ludicrous. Garrett, let's say Notre Dame goes 9-3 and loses all of their games that they're, you know, seem to be, you know, the most difficult games, and then just win the games they should. That's a disappointing season, and it's still top 30. I mean, it's preposterous.
Did he look at the schedule?
I really think he just forgot and doubled down, Darren. Now people yelling clickbait and everything. Now, Darren, I don't know about you, but I get paid $0 a month from Twitter, so I don't really know what the baiting is, unless he's just bored in the month of May and wanted to put that out there. But all of those things I've ran through my mind, and I don't know this guy again, but for me, just like thinking about if I were in his shoes, the only thing that makes sense is he just forgot to include Notre Dame. Just a couple hours later, saw the tweets coming in response to his top 30 that did not include the Irish. And his responses just kind of put gas on the fire. Yeah, I think he just kind of doubled down and was like, all right, this is the hill I'm going to die on. I'll be honest. I bookmarked that tweet. We're going to come back to that after the season. And I'm sure you did there. And I'm sure a bunch of other Notre Dame fans are as well. So again, I don't know the guy, but oof, top 30. Joel Klatt had Notre Dame about 11. I was like,
not even on his list.
A little too low.
Not even on his list of teams to watch. If you have like a question mark about, well, let's see their quarterback. Okay, put him on at least that list, and that seems preposterous.
Yeah. My coworker Jack Sobel, I put it well. He's like, that's a good reason to like maybe have Notre Dame not in the top 10 or top 15. Sure, but top 30 or 36. I mean, yeah. But look, for everyone calling him clickbait and everything, here are me and Darren just talking about it. I mean, so. We're using it too. So thank you, Mr. Brandon.
I tried to make an argument by saying, you know what? It's tough being a national writer because you got to cover everybody, but Notre Dame's not everybody. That's like Alabama, Georgia. You should know how good they are going to be. And I agree with you. I think he just forgot them, and now he's doubling down trying to fix it.
It makes more sense than Kansas and Virginia Tech and Liberty all being better than Notre Dame. I mean, come on.
Texas A&M has a brand new team, and he has them 17th. So that kind of kills his Notre Dame argument. Anyway, well, that's another reason why you should go to blueandgold.com.
Oh, yeah. We were having fun with it on our Blue and Gold message board titled the Loose Emoji Board. So, yeah, it is slower right now. So for you Notre Dame fans, you're like, man, I still need my Fighting Irish fix. Outside of the hours you're listening to Darren's show, you can go over to blueandgold.com and check out what we have going on. Tons of daily articles, still all sorts of updates, lots of discussion on our Loose Emoji message board. We would love to have you guys. Our offer is $1 for 2 months when you use the promo code UND1. So we'd love to have you guys over on the website.
Very good. Check it out. Mike Singer, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. He is the Notre Dame football recruiting insider for that organization, and he joins me every week here on WSBT Radio. I'm happy about that, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Darren.
That's Mike Singer. I'm Darren Pritchett. More Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat next on WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.